Some of you are just going to buy for your kids. Some of you are going to buy for your families, extended families. Some of you have friends and family you're going to buy for. Some of you are going to extend out and sponsor a family, pull a little Toys for Tots ticket. You're going to do other things outside of your normal sphere of influence. Some of you are going to overspend, and some of you are going to have a bad attitude and think, oh, it's Christmas. It's a bah humbug. Give, give, give. It's all this consumerism. All they want me to do is buy and spend, and everybody wants something, and it takes the focus off of Jesus, and so your attitude is kind of poor. But Christmas should be a joyful time of giving. We are celebrating the birth of Christ, so we should, as Christians, be joyful, regardless of the lines, the asking for money every which way, the wrapping, all the things that come with Christmas. We should be joyful, and we should be ready and willing to give. So this week, we studied the Proverbs on generosity, and today, we're going to study three specific Proverbs on generosity. Our first proverb today is Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. And as we read through and we discuss generosity, and as you probably saw in your study, that while Christmas is the ideal time to give and be generous, it's not just for this season alone that we ought to be giving. We need to be giving of our time and our resources daily. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Our first fruits are everything we have, because everything we have is from God. There's nothing that we have that God hasn't given to us and decided that we will have. We should use what God has given us equitably, righteously, and justly for the good of God's church and God's people. As we know, the Proverbs are metaphors for how we ought to live, how we ought to act, how we ought to behave. And we, of course, don't have barns and vats, and we're not selling livestock, and you know, we're not living the way they were living back then. But we do have jobs, or we have husbands with jobs, and those jobs equate into money, and that money is to be used first to give it back to God, and then to sustain our households, and then to be generous to other people. So through direct association, we are meeting the needs of the church. The lights are on, the heater or air, I don't know, something's running in the background. You have coffee, you have water, right? The church, we're meeting the needs of the church. We have people on staff, we have people who work really hard and they need to get paid. In the same way, we don't just have the money that God gives us, but we also have our time, like I said, we have our resources, we have means to be generous to other people. Well, God was so generous to us. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now that is the ultimate gift. We cannot outgive the giver. I think Stacy just said that. We cannot outgive the giver. That's the biggest gift, the best gift we could ever have. So it should be a natural response for us to want to give back to God and to give to others. I was reading some sermon illustrations and just considering, why is it so difficult for us to be generous? And as you work through the study, and as I work through the study on my own as well, it's difficult. It is difficult for us to be overly generous. This sermon illustration I read, the pastor said, "We know that we need to be generous people. I believe the church has all the money it needs to accomplish its mission. We've just got to figure out how to get it out of the pockets of our people." And therein lies the problem, right? Money's in, but it doesn't come out. Selfishness is the problem. We're selfish by nature. And again, we decide what we're going to spend our money on. But to get it sometimes outside of the family in particular is really difficult. Last week, Stacy taught on greed, and she had so many great points on our propensity to care for ourselves first. One of the things that I liked that she talked about was when you go to the mailbox during this time of year in particular, and you get that barrage of mail that's asking you, you know, sponsor the family here, sponsor this, buy a turkey, buy a tree, sponsor a child, and all these, you're just like, whoa, okay, there's a lot of stuff. Everywhere you go, right, we've got the Salvation Army, there's, you know, people asking for something during this time of year. But she noted that, well, if the Nordstrom's catalog comes in, I'm like, ooh, that looks pretty. Oh, look at that. There's an Ann Taylor card, 40% off. That's awesome. I'm all over that one. Maybe a toy magazine comes in for your kids. You're like, oh, this looks fun. Okay, I'll pass that one on. Those things don't typically immediately make it into the trash. But where we're asked to be generous, where it's not about me, those typically just get tossed. Proverbs 3:27 and 28 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you." That's Proverbs 3:27 and 28. God, again, has given us the real gift that keeps on giving in Christ, and his desire is that we keep on giving, just as it's been sacrificially modeled to us. And again, as I worked through this, I thought, okay, well, it's Christmas. This is really a great topic for this time of year. And it makes us think, it should have made you think, am I a kind of a bah humbug type of gal, or am I a generous woman? At this peak time of year, do you see yourself as being generous, or are you selfish? And I thought, well, I'm going to research a little bit. We do live in Orange County. I know we have a lot of people who don't have jobs, but we have a lot of people with jobs. So I did a little research just to find out how we're doing in Orange County financially. Well, as a county, we're the sixth most populated county in the country. The average income is $61,000 a year. In the surrounding cities of Compass Bible Church, the average household incomes are as follows. Laguna Niguel is $112,000. Laguna Hills is $103,000. Ladera Ranch is $99,000. Dana Point, $97,000. San Clemente, $94,000. Aliso Viejo, $83,000. San Juan Capistrano, $78,000. Mission Viejo, $84,000. And Rancho Santa Margarita is $93,000. So out of the 40 cities in Orange County, these cities surrounding Compass are in the top 20 as far as the average household income. So we're really not doing too bad. We're really not poor, especially when we consider what the rest of the world's living like. But I'm sure many are thinking, I'm strapped. How's this possible? Where'd you come up with these numbers? Well, I know, again, that it's tough times for some, but on average, we do have really good incomes. So when you ponder these numbers and you consider, where is my money going? Where is the money going? Is it going to the Lord first? Are you giving to God first? Because, again, everything is God's. So are we giving to God first, then taking care of our home, and then meeting the needs of other people? When we start to adopt the thinking that taking care of ourselves and our home first is the priority, does that mean that you need extra Kinect toys and games? Does that mean that you need to go out to dinner three times a week and have five coffees a week? Does that mean that all those extras that you spend on yourself are necessary? Well, it's fun, and we like to go out and treat ourselves. Is it necessary when it means I have to cut out being generous to other people? Or if I'm not giving to God, are those things necessary? In a 2010 report by Brian Clough, the president of the Christian Steward Association, he reported these stats about Christians and their giving. Number one, he said, the percentage of income that Christians give has been declining for 30-plus years. Current percentages are 1.5% to 3.5%. Number two, he said, the percentage of Christians giving 10% or more, based on a Barna research, stated that 17% of Christians say they tithe, while only 3% actually give 10% or more. And number three, financial assets and material resources of most Americans, including Christians, have increased over the last 20 years. So for the Christian, we can deduce that less and less is going to the church and more is being amassed for ourselves, and we're saving it up. And so unfortunately, as that report confirms, our culture, as we know and we think about, is me-minded. But even in the church, we're pretty self-focused. We're focused on doing what we need to do for ourselves first. Whether, again, it's our time or our money, whatever the resources are that God has given us, it goes to treat ourselves first. And the problem, again, is that when we serve ourselves first and we're not generous with God and we're not generous with others, we're not obeying God. We're not giving to him our first fruits. We're not using what he's given us for righteous means to further the kingdom. We should be grateful for everything that God has given us. We should count everything we have as a gift from God and see, how do I use this to further the kingdom? What can I do with what God's given me? Our first point today is to be grateful. We need to be grateful. Be grateful for all that you have. Be grateful for the season of life that you're in, whether it's a low time or a high time. Be grateful for the home that you have, for your jobs, for your children, for their schools, for food, shelter, clothing, all of it. We have so much. As Christmas approaches, we're reminded daily of Christ's birth. So our mind should be really hypersensitive right now to the ultimate act of giving. And And right now, we should in turn desire to be generous because God has been so generous to us. Matthew 2:11 says, "And going into the house, they, the wise men, saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men sought Jesus out, and they brought him gifts." So let's be grateful for Jesus, and let's show it during this season. Let's not grumble about the lines. Oh, these lines are terrible. You know, and I mean, you look around, and people have the worst attitudes. I mean, I was in Trader Joe's. This lady's like, "Oh, Christmas, such a drag." And then she's like, "Well, I guess when I was a kid, I liked it. Well, I guess we should buy for the kids." So she's like talking herself into, like, I shouldn't have a bad attitude. At least she recognized it. But, you know, that's the norm. People have really bad attitudes, right? I mean, you should have the mindset that it's Christmas. I'm going to go to the mall, and it's going to be crowded. All right, let's go. It's going to be crowded. I need to be patient because don't expect it not to be crowded. Expect it to be crowded. And then go. Have a coffee. Get a snack. Visit. Chat. Do something. It's going to be crowded. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to spend money because, you know, you do have gifts you're going to buy, and it's not normal that you're going to be buying gifts. You don't do it all year long, so you need to be prepared to spend some money if you're going to go shopping. Be prepared. Don't be like, "What? That cost how much?" Be prepared. Have a right attitude. Remember, we're a witness, so if you're sitting there in line at Target or the mall or whatever, and you just have this scowl on your face, and you're like, "Oh, Jesus loved you." What? I mean, we need to have a right attitude as Christians. We need to be prepared to get out there, have a plan, be generous, be joyful. We need to be grateful for everything that we have. When it's time to decorate, if you haven't already done it, it's work. I mean, I did mine on Sunday, and I woke up, I'm like, my back hurts. I don't think I've exercised that much in 3 months, and I wouldn't even call it exercise. But that's what it was. I was sore. I was like, man, that attic, I was in the attic and up the ladder and carrying boxes. Like, aren't you supposed to do all this heavy lifting? But, you know, it does take two, so I had to help out. But again, you know, there's a lot going on right now, and so our attitudes, though, should still be grateful. At least we have decorations. At least we have things to do, and we have Christmas, and we have Jesus, and we live in a great place, and it's fun. So let's have a plan of a right attitude. Let's be grateful as we persevere through this time of year. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, "You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and all that you undertake." Giving to God freely, without a grudging attitude, is what he's asked us to do. The Proverbs are excellent admonitions and spurring on of what God wants for those of us that claim to be Christ. To be generous, to lend to others, to care for others, and to do it with a heart that's grateful. So, let's take a moment yourselves to consider your giving. And are you grateful? Are you grateful for Christ? Are you grateful for what he's done? Are you grateful for everything that you have? Are you willing to pour yourself out for others or not? So I put a few things down. So just in the past month, I'm sure you've noticed, the church has changed. So as you think about the church, have you been giving to the church? Are you supporting the church? Because the church is really generous with us. They're generous with the people. They're generous with their time. They're generous with the money. They're very generous to us. But have you noticed, again, the transformation? There was an email or a Facebook or something that went out, and they asked for help. Might have even been in the bulletin. And they asked for help to decorate the church a couple weeks ago. Did any of you decorate the church? You don't have to raise your hand. It's just a question. Did you come, though, and help out and decorate the church? Were you here to make all this happen? Because it doesn't just pop up, right? It takes work. It takes time. It takes effort. The kids' musical is happening this next weekend. There's like 90 kids in that musical. So imagine being the people who are in charge of it with 90 kids. I mean, that's a lot of kids. They're kids. They're not like all, you know, okay, tell me what to do and I just go. You know, they've got energy. They're hungry. They're learning. They're awkward. There's all kinds of things. They need help. Has anybody thought, oh, I wonder if I could help in the kids' musical? Because typically in the kids' ministry, they're like begging for helpers, right? Like, we need help. But are people willing to help? Are you willing to help? Whether it's chaperoning, bringing a snack, just being available to help out. What about the kids' ministry servants? I saw in the bulletin last weekend that they are low on, I think it's the two-year-olds. I'm not quite sure to remember, but I think it was the two-year-olds. There's always some classroom that seems like they've lost the person who's serving, and they need somebody who's regularly serving in that room. Did anybody volunteer and say, oh, there's a need. Maybe I can pray about that and I can fill that need. Or are we just overlooking all these requests for help? Are we willing to help? If you're not serving, are you willing to extend yourself out and help? We just had the Christmas coffee this past weekend. There was 425 women here. It took a lot of time and effort and work to put that together. Did you think about helping during that? We have 5 Christmas Eve services coming. That again means kids ministry. That means they need help. Anybody thinking, oh, I wonder if they need help? Or are we just waiting to be pulled in? Are we willing on our own to be generous with our time? Again, we go to a church that's really generous to us, but are we generous in return? Because that's really what God wants. He wants us to be generous in return, not under compulsion, though. He wants us on our own to be generous with our time. What about a sister in need or a family member or maybe a coworker that you've seen, you know they're going through a tough time, whether it's financially or in their marriage or just down, maybe their job's a bummer, maybe they don't have a job. Have you thought about, I should take her out, or I should write her a note, or I should just get her a coffee, or just offer her words of encouragement? Or do you just kind of go, oh, it's a bummer, and move on? For those of you who are married, what about your husband? This one always gets me. At Christmas, I hear a lot of women say, I don't buy my husband a gift. We don't buy each other gifts. Why? Why don't you buy your husband a gift? Well, we just don't. We buy for everybody else, but we don't buy for each other. We set it aside, or we just don't need anything. Well, I don't believe that there's a woman here that doesn't need something. There's got to be something. I mean, I would probably cry if on Christmas morning I got nothing. I'd be like, oh, are you kidding? Like, you couldn't come up with anything? Surely there's something. In the same way, we need to be thinking about our husbands if we're married. I mean, this is day in and day out who you spend your time with. And, Christmas in this time of giving is being thoughtful, being thankful, being grateful, and saying, hey, I love you, and I thought of this. Actually, I got my husband 2 things, and he saw them both, but he's still getting them. As I said, I went to a lot of effort to try to be secretive because he always figures them out. And now that you've seen him, you're still getting him. So if you want to take him back, fine, but you're getting him because I cannot come up with something new. And he's fine. He's like, that's fine. Okay. So, but, it's just what you got to do. It's the thought, though, right? It's taking the time for your husband. Because, if you can't buy for your husband, what's the chance you're going to go pull a tag for Toys for Tots? What's the chance you're going to go, I want to sponsor a family? What's the chance that you're going to think about others outside of your sphere of influence if we're not even buying for our spouse? If we forego giving during this time of year, certainly we're not going to have habits that carry into 2012 that are habits of generosity and giving to others. I find that I have many good intentions, probably like a lot of you, but then I forget or I dismiss them. I just move on. And like Stephanie taught a few weeks back, thinking about doing it and not doing it still results in doing nothing. And the thought isn't enough. Our actions have to occur. We can't just think about, oh, that might be good to do. That might be nice to serve. I should write her a note and then do nothing. Nothing is nothing. As I was studying, I researched some generous people of today. I researched this one guy. His name is Charles Feeney. He's one of the co-founders of a company called Duty Free Shops. And if you travel, you've probably seen Duty Free Shops throughout the airports. They sell luxury items in airports, and there's no taxes. So that's a little benefit, no tax. Well, in the mid-90s, they had sales of more than $3 billion a year. And according to writer Judith Miller of the New York Times, over a 15-year period, Feeney's 2 charitable foundations gave away some $600 million. One charity alone received $30 million. Mr. Feeney left himself $5 million of that $600 million after he gave the rest away. In 1997, he sold the company for $5.5 billion, and he gave it all away. Mr. Feeney reluctantly explained his generosity and said, I simply decided I had enough money. It doesn't drive my life. It doesn't define who I am. I'm a what you see is what you get kind of guy. His lawyer, who advised him in setting up the foundations, said he doesn't own a house, he doesn't own a car, he flies economy, and his watch costs $15. This is a multimillionaire. He gave all his money away, except for the $5 million. But that's not a whole lot in the whole scheme of things, right? The most extraordinary part, though, of Mr. Feeney's giving was that he did it all in secrecy. It wasn't until the company was sold that, for tax purposes, he had to bear his name. He did it all in secrecy. He was anonymous about it. And Mr. Feeney said, I had one idea that never changed. You should use your wealth to help people. It's important to give and for us to give in the right way. And according to Jesus, when we give to God and we give to his people, it pleases God. 1 John 3:17 and 18 says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." We need to consider the riches that God has given us and consider where to use them. Would you open your Bibles to Matthew 25? Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 35. Again, we're just, you know, wanting to focus on, as the study did, and just that we should be grateful for all that we have. And again, most importantly, grateful for the birth of Christ, grateful that Christ died for us, that we're not going to be separated from God. We should be grateful. And out of that gratefulness, have a right attitude. Matthew 25, verse 35 through 40 says, "For when I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So when we consider one another, we're serving God. When we lend a hand, provide a meal, give money, buy groceries, send a note of encouragement, we're serving God. It pleases God when we give of ourselves. When we tie to the church, giving of our first fruits, as the Proverbs say, we're giving to God that his will would be done within the church. And when we're sensitive to those who have less and we are considerate of that and we try to provide something for them, we're serving God. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." And this leads to our second point. Be generous. We're talking on generosity. Be generous. We need to be generous. Being generous should define us as Christians. Generosity is defined as readiness or being liberal in giving. Being liberal in giving. Now, God doesn't expect us to give what we don't have. He expects you to give what you do have. That's all that he asks. Give according to your means, whether it, again, is financial, whether it's your time, whether it's your counsel. Give what you have. Give of the talents that he's given you. Give of the gifts that he's given you. There's no exact percentage, no exact proportion. There's no date, the first and the 15th. There's nothing like that set in the Bible. God just wants us to give of what we have and what our ability is to give. 2 Corinthians 8:2-5 says, "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." Paul here is referring to the Macedonians when speaking to the Corinthians, and he's saying that the Macedonians gave according to their ability, and they did it for the sake of the church, for the community of believers. They gave what they could as the believers were being persecuted. We need to give what we can for the church and for others. As Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches." The Philippians believed this. They believed they needed to take no thought for what they ate, what they drank, what they wore. As Jesus said in Matthew 6, "If he clothes the grass of the field and the lilies of the fields and feeds the birds of the air, how much more is he going to take care of us? If I provide a meal, I'm not going to miss my mortgage payment. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'm not going to go broke in the process. If I'm prudent and I'm doing things the way God would want me to do it, God's going to replenish you." So I hope at this point you're thinking, oh, how generous am I really? Am I like the Macedonians? Do I desire to give to the body of Christ my time, my money, my effort, my talent, whatever it is? Do I do that? Well, the good news is it's Christmas, so there's take heart. You can make a change, right? This is the easiest time of year to give. This is the height of generosity. It's easy. So you can start now, and you can carry this into 2012. You can check yourselves. You can repent of anything you haven't been doing. You can be grateful for what you do have. And in 2012, you move forward, and you can continue to be generous with your time, your talents, your efforts, whatever it is that God has given you. He's given you everything. Use it for God's glory. Proverbs 19:17 is the second proverb we studied in our reading this week. It says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. He will repay him. If you read the whole thing, he says, be generous, and he will repay you. The Proverbs that we studied this week said he will replenish us and he will repay us for our generosity. So I thought I'd give some practical ways that we can be generous. Number one is tithing. We need to give to the Lord of our first fruits. We need to tithe. That means we need to give to the church. As I said earlier, and as most of you know, we are in a very generous church. We're in a really great church. We need to be tithing, because if we're not tithing as a body regularly, the church, well, God's going to do what he's going to do. But the church needs us to give money. So if I say, well, this month I'm going to give 100, next month I'm going to give 10, and then I'm going to give 5. Can you imagine if your paycheck came in that way? This month I'm going to pay you 100, next month I'm going to pay you 5. You're like, how do I operate this way? You can't operate that way, right? In the same way, we need to consider that with the church. We need to pray about what God would have us to do and be consistent in our tithing. So we need to tithe. We need to give to the church. What about your friends? What about someone in your Bible study group here? If you see a need, do you just see the need and go, I'm sorry? Or do you try to meet the need? Do you work together as a group or even as an individual, invite them over for lunch, take them out to lunch, buy them a coffee, send them a note, your home fellowship group, in your workplace? Are you extending yourself out to be generous to the ladies that you're involved in? And as Christmas comes near, what about the Compass Hispanic Church? I know that Third Nine and then Thrive and one other group, they sponsored the Hispanic Church, maybe True North, I'm not sure. But they sponsor the Hispanic Church. And there's actually a party on the 16th for the people of the Hispanic Church. They've gone over and above, they've met the needs of every family in that church. And then they're hosting them for dinner, so generous. But we can participate in the same types of things. You can call the church. If you have that desire to meet the need of a family, you can always call the church and ask, is there a family that has a need? Is there somebody that you could advise me that I could anonymously give to? You could buy a tree for a needy family. I know people who can't get a tree till the very end because they can't afford it based on a paycheck. If you know someone like that, you can buy them a tree, buy them a wreath. You can provide a gift card for groceries for that Christmas dinner. What about sponsoring a child as a family? World Vision, for example. You can sponsor a child for a year. It's like $35 a month. And that goes to provide food, education, and where they live. We sponsored a young girl about 5 years ago. Her name's Jeanette. She's the same age as my daughter Emma. She's 9. And it's been such a great experience for all of us as a family. We, twice a year, send something, birthday and Christmas. There's all kinds of parameters and limitations of what you can send, how big it can be. So we work within those parameters because the envelope can only be this big, this, you know, there's all these different parameters. So we work within it and we fill it up with fun stuff for her and a toothbrush and toothpaste, some practical things and then some fun things, hair ties, twist up pencils, you know. And it's been so great to teach Emma, who she wanted to give her a DVD. I said, well, she doesn't have electricity. She can't watch a DVD. Oh, okay, she's not thinking about that. So it's a teaching moment, too. You know, we want to send her twist-up pencils because she doesn't have a pencil sharpener. We want to give her practical things that she can use in Rwanda. And then I said, why don't you go online? Let's make sure you know where it is on the map, and let's see what they eat in Rwanda, because maybe one day you'll be a missionary there. That's how we talk. So she Googles it and finds out, oh, they eat tilapia. Oh, we love tilapia. That's awesome. You can eat tilapia and rice. You'll be fine. So Rwanda's looking really good, and it's great. It creates good conversation. She's excited about it. She has a picture of her. She prays for this girl. And then we've also gotten letters back. And they're really simple little stick people drawings of her bed and of her, and they're so sweet. And it's very simple. That's something you can do as a family, and it's great. It's such a great, great opportunity. As a matter of fact, I spoke this morning, and I got a Facebook from somebody who went online, who was watching, and she went and she sponsored a World Vision child with her daughter's birthday. So that was encouraging. She just got right on it. That was great. What about church events here? All the church events that do go on. Now, typically it's all free, but how can you be generous? Well, it's not always free, right? There are some things that cost money. And unfortunately, when it costs money, people say, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. It's not first. It's not a priority. It should be a priority. The church thing should come first. So if that means you have to save a little bit to get into that women's retreat or to do the coffee forego a lunch, forego a Starbucks. And you know, for the women's retreat, it's $225 a year. I ran this retreat for 7 years. And the biggest complaint I have is money. Well, if you save $25 a month starting January 1st, you'd be paid in full by October 1st. So if you just gave up two coffees and two lunches a month, you're good to go. That, I mean, doesn't that sound easy? But it's a commitment, it's effort, it's denying yourself something so that you can do this. So instead of just thinking, I'll do the things that are free, no, let's not say no to church. Let's say yes to church. Let's say yes to getting our kids into the retreats. Let's say yes to getting ourselves to retreat. Let's say yes to the things of church and make a plan. Let's be generous to the things that God wants us doing. What about date nights? I know babysitting is an issue because babysitters are expensive. They make more than minimum wage. So babysitting's a problem. I mean, to go out costs you like $75 between dinner and your babysitting. Well, you could co-op with a friend. You can make a plan. You know, I'll take your kids, you take my kids, and go on a date with your husband. Make a plan. Again, it takes effort, it takes time. You have to think through things. How about providing a meal to a family who's just had a baby or someone within your Bible study group that maybe has a health issue? Just making them a meal. That's easy, and that's encouraging to people to bring them a meal. What about inviting them into your home? Again, it takes effort, it takes time. Invite them into your home, though. If you met a new gal or a new couple, invite another group over that you know and introduce this new couple to a few other people. It's easy to do. It's encouraging. People love it. They walk away, and they're blessed. We just did a barbecue like 4 weeks ago. We like to do barbecues and invite people in and have some of our friends come. So we did a barbecue a few weeks ago. My husband loves to barbecue. He's like the Bobby Flay of barbecuing. And he wants to try something new all the time. So he uses a smoker, and then he does the barbecue. It's like an eight-hour event. So that the good news is I don't do anything. I make cornbread. So that day, it was going to rain. And I said, it's going to rain. Well, I don't think it's going to rain that bad. I said, well, it says it's going to pour. I don't think so. Okay. You know, that's a different sermon. Just leave it there. Fine. So, okay. Well, it poured. Rain, cats and dogs. So they threw up an easy up, put up a big old spotlight under the easy up, put out a table, and the five guys sat out there in the pouring rain, cutting up ribs, right? So I said later, you know, well, how were the ribs? Well, they weren't my best. I'm like, was that because it's, you know, the smoker was cold and the barbecue was cold and yeah, it wasn't the best. Why didn't you tell me it was going to rain? I'm like, I told you it was going to rain. So anyway, it's fun though. You know, you walk away, your friends are blessed, you're blessed, and it's a fun time. It's easy to do. Invite people into your home. And today, if you don't know, is St. Nicholas Day. It's a day where St. Nicholas, back from the 1800s, he was known for being generous. And he was generous. He started off with being generous to some single young gals who needed a dowry. So he provided that dowry anonymously, and then he continued to provide the dowry for the second sister, then the third sister. And then it grew into providing to people who had needs in and around his village. Well, that has evolved over the years into the idea of Santa Claus. St. Nicholas has evolved into Santa Claus, anonymous giving, being generous. Well, today's that day. So if you have kids, you can go home and buy the book tonight, I think, if it's open. If not, you can go home and just talk about it, Google it. And you can give to your kids and say, hey, we're going to anonymously give. We did it for my daughter, and this morning I said, well, who do you want to give to? And she has a little friend at school whose mom doesn't live with her and has an alcohol problem. And the mom is kind of in a halfway house, and she is in and out and in and out and just struggling. Well, this poor little girl is just, she's just really insecure. And she misses her mom, obviously. So the little girl was telling Emma, my mom might get kicked out and be homeless. And, you know, I mean, what a heavy burden for an eight-year-old who's talking about this at school. My mom's going to be homeless. So I said to her today, who do you want to do? And she said, I want to do Paige's mom. I want to give her money. I said, well, we can't give her money, but we can certainly go to the market, and we can build her a basket, and I will call the dad and find out where this halfway house is, and we will take it to her mom. But that's what was on her heart, is I want to give it to my friend's mom. So it's such a great way, again, for our kids to think, who can we do something for nice and anonymously? Who can we do it for? So that's today, St. Nicholas Day. I know, again, it all takes work, it all takes time, and it takes some money, but it's well worth the blessing, and it's pleasing to God. And that's the most important thing. It pleases God when we're generous. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So let's do what the scriptures say, and let's give bountifully and with a cheerful heart. Our last point is expect to be compensated. Expect to be compensated. For all this generosity that you do, you can expect to be compensated. God loves it, and the scriptures again over and over say, God is pleased when we're generous with others. When we are celebrating Christ and we are grateful for that, and we in turn turn around and we share what we have with others, that pleases God. It's a natural outpouring of our gratitude to God. And again, he rewards. 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. By giving to the Lord, the scripture says, you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That sounds like a good reward, treasures in heaven. You can look forward to being rewarded. God will be pleased with that generous and cheerful person. That thought alone should motivate us, that God will be pleased with us. Jim Elliot, the famous missionary, once said, he is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. And doesn't that sound nice and encouraging? And it just sounds so good and rich. It sounds very rich. John MacArthur says on giving that giving is all about getting. Giving is all about being blessed. God says, release it, and I will multiply it to your account. It's the blessing that's the issue. There's a cycle of being blessed. You give, and you get blessed. You give, and you get blessed. You don't give, there's no blessing to give. So give, and you'll be blessed, because it pleases God to give. Our third proverb that we studied, Proverbs 11, 24, and 25. Proverbs 11, 24, and 25 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. And the principle there is the more you give, the more you get. The more you water, you get watered. Again, it's refreshing. It's good. That pleases God. We should seek to have a reward if for no other reason than that we might show God that we love him and we want to give him all that we have. We're grateful for what we have. If you've been blessed financially, great. Be sure you're supporting the needs of others. You're not saving it up for a rainy day, planning for the future that might never come. Use what you have to bless others. If you're already a generous woman, then thank God for that. Praise God and continue to be that generous woman. Just last week, I was picking up my daughter to come to the Christmas rehearsal, and I was picking up a friend, and the mom gave me money for their outfits, and then she said, I put another check in there just in case somebody has a need. And I said, oh, that is so nice of you. And she said, you know, I just felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to give a check. So she gave a check, and we turned it in. And it was just of her own volition, which is awesome. If you know people that are struggling, be sensitive and don't talk about all the things you're off doing and the money that you're spending and the dinners that you're having. We need to be sensitive. There are a lot of people who are struggling, and we should be sensitive to that. We should be sensitive to knowing what they need if they have a need, and sensitive to not boasting about what we're doing if we're doing lots of things. If you haven't thought about meeting the needs of others, whether it's financially, with a meal, with your time, whatever it is, if you haven't thought about it but you've seen it and you've ignored it, then you need to repent of that and you need to stop ignoring it and start meeting the needs of others. And if you haven't been tithing regularly, if you don't give to God first, then you need to make that change now. It's a command to give to God. It's a command to tithe. So it's a lack of obedience when you're not doing it. As we wrap up this week's study on generosity and you head into Christmas, let's meditate on what the Proverbs promise. We will be replenished, we will be refreshed, we will be rewarded for being generous. Those are all good things, replenished, refreshed, and rewarded for being generous. So my hope is that you'll leave here and really be truthful with yourself, that you'll examine yourself, and that you'll make the change if it's needed. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for these ladies. Thank you for bringing them here. I know a lot of them come from work, and it's a long day, God, and so we thank you that they're committed and that they study your word and that they desire to fellowship with other women, God. I pray that you'd give them a great time of conversation, God. I pray they would be open and transparent. They'd be willing to share. And God, if there's anybody that really needs to repent of being selfish, God, that you would have that exposed in a good way, God, so that they'd make the necessary change, God. I pray that these ladies would be generous and willing to share this year, and that they'd carry it into the next year, God, that they would be known as women of generosity, that they would be a light to those around them, and that they would be a reflection of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I think you can go.